Open your Bible to Psalm 34, and I want to read verse 1 in unison. I want you to read this verse with me in unison. Psalm 34, verse 1. You have it? Ready? All right, in unison. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Just verse 1 now. Let's do it again. Let's read it again. Just verse 1. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Now, that's quite a statement to say, isn't it? David said it. It's put here so that we can say it and have the same blessing that David had. You know, some of the blessings of the Bible that we read about and we say, oh, I wish we could have those kind of blessings today. Well, if we praise God like the saints of old, made a surrendering commitment to him like they did, I believe that the Lord would visit us in a very wonderful and unusual way, in a biblical way. Now notice what he said, I will. What a resolve. This is what I'm going to do. I don't know what others may do. I don't even know what other Christians may do. There are a lot of Christians saying, I could be a Christian and don't go to church. Well, maybe so. I don't know. I'm not their judge. But I'm a Christian, and I need the church. I need you. I need to be in the house of God with God's people. I will. This is what David is saying. He's making a commitment. And friend, I want you to think of the commitment that Jesus made at the cross for us. And I don't want to tread lightly on my Christian testimony to him, because he made a commitment to me. He said, I will go to the cross. I will die. Oh, I could call 10,000 angels, but I will give my life a ransom. Now, I'm going to say in return, I will praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord at all times. Now, how am I going to do that effectively? I'm going to do it by remembering the blessings that he has already given to me. I was at a restaurant, Chris and I, and we were eating, and we noticed this man and wife bowing over their food, pray. Very often, I'll walk through a restaurant when I see somebody doing that. I'll spot them and I'll think, now I'm going to go by their table on the way out and commend them for doing that. And I mentioned to this man and woman, I said, I noticed you prayed over your food and you gave thanks. You know what he said to me? If I don't pray and give thanks for the blessings that God has already given to me, he may not give me more in the future. For I'm a taker and not a praiser. But as we sang, he is worthy. He is worthy. Friend, the blessings of God. So let's begin remembering. You see on the front of the communion table, this new in remembrance. God's given us a brain to remember. And as we begin to reflect, the praises will come. Now, the first thing I want to praise God for this morning is that he saved me. I can't get over that. I just can't get over that. I hear them talk about miracles, and we should talk about them when God gives them to us. Answers to prayer, we should talk about them when God answers our prayer. But the miracle of miracles is when God had mercy on me and saved my soul and saved your soul. On one occasion, Jesus sent 70 disciples out to the cities around the area where he was. And he gave them power over sickness and disease and over demon possession. And they return rejoicing. Oh, Jesus, devils are subject to us in your name. Sick bodies were healed in your name. They went on telling about all the physical things that happened in his name, but not one of them said anything about spiritual life coming to individuals. You know what Jesus said to them? Don't rejoice because devils are subject to you. Don't go around chasing a miracle and looking for miracles. I'll perform miracles, but the greatest of all miracles is the salvation of souls. And that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. Now, if we begin to remember that and give praise to the Lord, the praises will just automatically begin to come, and it'll be without effort that we begin to give praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. I was just a small boy, maybe 12 years old, 10 or 12 years old. I visited my grandparents in Fairmont, West Virginia, and my grandmother went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every time the church was open, she was there, and I thought she was just the greatest person on earth, and I went with her, and that Sunday night, the preacher preached a sermon, gave an altar call, and he said, anybody here, you want to be saved, you want to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, come to this altar. And I came up, and I knelt down right like here, or one of these kneelers, and somebody knelt down beside me, and I turned and looked, and there was the pastor of that church kneeling with me, and he prayed with me, and he talked with me, and I boo-hooed and cried and asked Jesus to come into my life, and what a change happened. What a change. Then, years later, while I'm pastoring this church, wasn't that many years ago, you know Bob Roden, Dr. Robert Roden, he's been here a number of times. When he was the bishop of the churches in Maryland and Virginia, he was the district superintendent, he had a minister's meeting that he called all his pastors together, well over 300 of them, and he contacted me and invited me to come. He said, I want you to take 10 minutes and tell the ministers about your counseling ministry. Back then I had a rather active counseling ministry. Ministers have problems too, and they have challenges that are different and unique from anybody else, I think. I don't know. But I don't want to compare mine to yours, because yours hurt you just as much as mine hurts me. But I did. Credit I went. Credit I was in the counseling ministry. And I got up, and he introduced me. He said, tell them about your counseling ministry. Some of these husbands and wives, they're pastors, may want to come. They need some individual help, individual counseling. I stood behind the podium, and I looked out over those 300 and some ministers. And way over to my left, I saw Reverend McCauley, the pastor at my grandmother's church, the pastor that gave the altar call, the pastor that knelt beside me and prayed with me when I was just a little boy. He's now an old, old man, very tall, about 6 feet, 2 or 3, and very thin. And when I saw him, I forgot everything else. All I could remember was that salvation experience and that dear brother helping this little boy to pray and to get right with God. And I said, gentlemen, ladies, I could mention a lot of people who are my friends. I recognized a lot of those pastors. I said, but there's somebody here that I have to take just a moment. I mean, there was nothing greater that happened to me in all my life to this very moment. And when that man knelt beside me and that dear brother, I said, Reverend McCauley, would you please stand? And Corinne started clapping, and then the others started clapping. And pretty soon there was an orchestra of people clapping as I recognized that's the man that told me about Jesus, that knelt and prayed for me. Friend, there's nothing greater, nothing greater. And if you don't have anything else to praise the Lord for, but you do, praise Him for the salvation that has come to you. Give thanks, give glory, give praise to the Lord. The years went by. The years went by, and Reverend McCauley died and went to heaven. His wife contacted me, and she said, we're having the Reverend Dr. Roden minister at the funeral, do the eulogy, but we want you to come. We want you to come and take 5 minutes and give a testimony. I mean, back then, I still am on television or radio, pastoring a church. And I did. I could hardly talk. And then when they began to bring that casket out, I walked by the casket, but when he went by, the lid was down, and I reached over and I touched it. Friend, that was my life. That's my life. That's my life now. I'm saying, are you saved? Do you thank God daily because of your great salvation that He has brought to you that you couldn't have brought to yourself? Your name is in heaven in the book of life. And when this life is over, but before this life is over, you have Jesus with you to bless you and to help you. Now, I have, during that time, growing up time, I was in and out of the church. I, quote, backslid, as they would say, and I would come back to the Lord, but I never forgot. I never forgot. I mean, it got a hold of me. It got brought, what that man said was from the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit reached out and took hold of me and brought me into God's kingdom. And no matter where I would go or what I would do or how far I would drift, I could never get away from that experience and how thankful I am. And then the Lord, well, way back then, even then, I knew that God had put his hand on me and called me to preach the gospel. No one in my family had ever pastored a church or become a seminary graduate, or I was the only one. And I just knew that someday I was going to be up there where Reverend McCauley was, and I would be preaching the same gospel that he preached, and I would pray and hope that I would reach some of souls like he preached and reached souls. But it never happened, but for a long time. It seemed like a long time, but it really wasn't all that long. And I was married, and Corinne and I were planning on going into the ministry, and the call of God was on both of us, but nothing opened. There was no opportunity. And I began to wonder, confusion that was in my mind. And we went to this little church out in the country. We went there several weeks and several months. A Reverend and Mrs. Garnes pastored that church. And then I thought, well, this isn't it. I'll go to another church, and then I'll go to another church. Friend, church hopping is not the answer. It's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Remembering Jesus. We were looking out there for somebody or some church or some experience. Friend, it's in the presence of God, and God is here. We sang a moment ago with the choir saying, I'm standing on holy ground. Well, I did like, and I was in my, I don't know, early 20s, and I was wondering, where am I going to, where's this ministry going to come from? How do I start? I had no idea. I only knew that I was supposed to, that the call of God was there. One night, a knock came to the door. It was late, dark, and Corinne went to the door and opened the door, and there stood that pastor and wife of that little church. Fred, you know, God loves little churches. He really does. And they walked in, and the pastor's wife told us that God's put Trinity on their heart and that they had to come and talk to us. Well, they came in, we had prayer, and we started back to that little church. That man, Reverend Gardens, became my pastor. He guided me into divinity school. He called the president of a seminary up in Pennsylvania. The registration had already closed. He said, I've got a man down here, Jack Morris. He's just a young man. God's called him. I want to help him. Can you make an exception and let him in? And we moved up and lived in a little trailer on the campus. And I started my divinity school education. And it was that same pastor who went ahead of me and talked to people that in denominational positions. And he said, if you have a church that needs a pastor, he said, I want you to consider this young man. They may not pay full time. He may have to work in secular work, but this man is called of God. And from then it went on. Listen, Fred, I could go on and on. When I begin to remember, that's what I'm talking about. When I begin to remember, and I want you to begin to remember, and when you begin to remember, you will begin to praise God honestly, sincerely, from your heart. And at that time, the blessing of God will come. Friend, we take these blessings. I think of the blessings of God, the food I eat, the clothes I wear, the house I live in, the church I go to, the air I breathe, and on I could go. There is an abundance of reasons to give praise to the Lord. And I praise God today, and I praise him for you and for the blessing that you've been to Corinne and me in our lives. There's a song the choir sings, my help, all of my help comes from the Lord. Do you remember that one? How true it is, all of my help comes from the Lord. Well, You still have your Bibles open? Look at the next word, extol. I will. Oh, friend, I can't help myself today. I'm happy. I'm so happy. Just talking about my experience in the Lord. It's as real today as it was when I was a little boy way back there. Thank God for His blessing. Notice the third word. What is the third word? I will extol. Now, in the King James, New King James, the word is praise. It could be translated extol, or it could be translated praise. The word praise comes from the word price. Now, I praise the Lord for the price. And I'm going to remember that price that He paid for me. Friend, listen to me. Listen, I've got to say something very important. What price do you put upon your relationship with the Lord? Or what price can you put upon that relationship? Remember the relationship. You have that relationship. What price? And that's what David was saying. I will praise the Lord. I will remember the price. I will extol the Lord at all times. Now, the scripture says in Psalm 23, God inhabits the praises of His people, meaning God, the word inhabit means come and set down. Come and set down. When I begin to praise the Lord, and I'm here praising the Lord, and I'm worshiping God, Jesus comes and sits down beside me. And that word inhabit means come alongside, set down beside. It also means remain. He doesn't jump up and run out. No. Friend, if you want a blessing, praise the Lord. If you don't have a blessing, it's because you have forgotten some of the blessings of the Lord. So begin to remember today and begin to praise the Lord for what God has done for you. The scripture says, how pleasant and fitting to praise the Lord. There's so many unpleasant things that go on in our lives. But if you want to have a pleasant experience, you want to have a good, comfortable, pleasant, relaxed experience, praise the Lord. Like I said in the beginning of the message, God's going to heal somebody today, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Somebody says, but that's altogether up to God. No, that's only partially true. It's altogether up to God, but it's altogether up to you too. If you don't thank God for what God has already done, then why should we expect Him to do anything else for us? We're going to come to this altar in just a moment, and He's going to do great things. Now, notice what it says. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord at all times. I know I'm not going to be able to finish this message today. At all times. There are things that I cannot praise the Lord for that go on in my life and have gone on, and things that have gone on in your life that you cannot praise the Lord for. We don't say, thank God, you know, I'm dying with cancer. No. Thank God I have heart failure. No. Friend, you notice she's not in her sling today? Did you notice that? She fell and two times broke her collarbone. Did I thank God the friend fell and broke her collarbone? The Bible says, praise God at all times. No. No. You know what I praise God for? I thank God that He's blessed her. He's going to heal her. He's going to restore her. He's our Savior. He's going to do great things. It could be a lot worse. Praise God at all times in all circumstances. Regardless of what is going on, we can praise God and give thanks to the Lord because God is God and He does great and mighty things. Friend, let me ask you again, do you want help today? Remember the help that you already received from the Lord. Praise Him and thank Him for that, and watch what happens. Jesus will come. He'll sit down beside you. He will come right into that situation that you're being confronted with, and He will remain there and sit with you and comfort you and bring pleasantness into your life. At all times. Now, notice that I'm going to have to close real fast now. Look at verse 2. My soul. Say those two words. Will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. There's going to be tragedy. There's going to be hardship. My sister was killed in an automobile accident. Her husband was killed in an automobile accident. I didn't thank God that they left us, but I thank God for the Sunday night when I was pastoring in Baltimore on Christmas Eve. I preached a sermon. My sister got up, walked down to the altar, knelt down, gave her heart to the Lord. I remembered and I gave praise. Friend, it's in remembering. It's in remembering the praise begins to come. She's in heaven today with my dad and her mother, my dad and my mother. I have so much to praise the Lord for. I miss them. I don't praise the Lord that they died. I praise the Lord they went to heaven. And there's life after this life. And there's fellowship forevermore in Jesus. Friend, notice what it says. His praise will always be on my lips. Now notice, lips. Now look at verse 2. My soul. My soul is praising the Lord. My lips are praising the Lord. My soul, my heart, down in my very inmost being, that part of me that is of God, that God has breathed into me. As God breathed into Adam the breath of life and he became a living soul, every person here that's alive, God has breathed into you, and you are a living soul, a soul that will live on forevermore. That living part of God that is in you cannot die, because if that died, part of God would die. That part of God that has been breathed into you is that part of God that will go on forever and ever. And so this is what David is saying. My soul, my God consciousness, my God life within me is praising God. And when that begins to praise God, it wells up within me until it begins to burst forth from my lips. I'm not just starting with my lips. I'm starting with the presence of God within me, the very life of God. And I remember it and I give praise, and the glory of the Lord is upon me. Now it goes on in verse 3. It says, glorify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Friend, I'm up here talking about myself, but he says, now let's do it together. Hey, we're in church together. Let's sing He is Worthy. Let's come to the together. Let's come to the communion table together. It's a together religion. It's a church, one body, one faith, one baptism. We are one in the Lord. Let's love God with all our heart, love one another, praise the Lord from our soul, praise him with our lips. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Worship in private, but also worship in the congregation. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, like I did not know him at one time, I failed him many times, but he has never failed me. He's been with me all my life. What a wonderful Savior. Today he'll come into your heart and be with you the remainder of your life and then for all eternity. Friend, if you don't know him, all you need to do is ask him to come into your heart. He'll hear your prayer and he'll come. He died on the cross. His broken body, his shed blood, it's on this holy altar now. Christian, praise the Lord. Begin to think. Begin to remember. Thank him for your salvation. Remember, reflect, relive it. Let it happen. The Holy Spirit will bring grace into your life. You'll know joy, pleasantness. Pleasantness will come to you, even in the midst of situations that are unpleasant. I'm going to pray for the unsaved now, with your heads bowed. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you pray a prayer something like this. You repeat it after me. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. You died on the cross taking my sins. Today, forgive me of my sins. Take all my sins away. Give to me, impart to me new life, your life. I want to be born again, born from above. I receive Jesus as my Savior. Friend, if you prayed that prayer and you believe that, then you're saved. God has come into your heart. Now, Christians, I know some of you are going through some difficult places. God loves you and I love you. I pray for you every day. I'm going to pray for you now. But before I pray for you, I want you to pause and think and give thanks. I thank God for the blessings that have come to you, but I don't know those blessings. But you be specific, and we're going to just bow before the Lord, and you give thanks to the Lord. Whatever it is, thank you for saving you. Remember your baptism in water. Thank him that you're coming to the Holy Communion table. Tell him as you come, you are remembering Calvary and his precious blood that has cleansed you from your sins, that you are a new creation in him. Just talk to him like that. Let it come to your mind. He'll hear your prayer. He'll hear your praise. And he'll inhabit. He'll come and sit down beside you. Father God, I pray for your people, the Church of Jesus Christ, this colony of heaven on earth. The Largo Community Church is part of that colony of heaven on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. God bless your people and help us to remember your blessings and to give praise and to give thanks to you. Come and inhabit the praises of your people. Come and sit down beside us in that difficult situation that we're not alone, but you're sitting right there. You're not in a hurry to leave. Matter of fact, you're not going to leave. We're going to praise you and receive from you. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. We give you praise.